listening to WBCR LP 97.7 FM, your community radio station. Up next, it's Radio to Women. And don't touch that dial, ladies, because it's a show can't afford to miss. It's Radio to Women every Thursday at 1 p.m. and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And guess what? Get our podcasts at radio2women.com.
But know my way home, and I believe in my own salvation, and I believe when I look at my boy, and I believe in the power of creation. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe. I am poor, but oh, very wealthy. Life has shattered.
Today in the studio, Radio 2 Women welcomes Amy Brentano, the owner and manager of The Foundry, located at 2 Harris Street in the center of West Stockbridge. Amy has converted a 3,600 square foot building into an arts and performance center. Amy's goal is for the Foundry to become a vibrant regional center for creative expression and community engagement. Her mission is to create a safe place for work that is relevant and challenging with diverse artists for a diverse audience. The Foundry is the new home of Bizarre Productions and the Berkshire Fringe. Currently showing at the Foundry from August 8th to the 18th is the play Particularly in the Heartland. Amy will tell us not only about the play, but about her future plans for the Foundry. Welcome, Amy, to Radio 2 Women. Hello, and welcome to Radio 2 Women, 97.FM. Our amazing host, Serene Mastriani, will be returning to the airwaves at the end of August. For now, just me, Lauren Krause, the co-host, is pleased to welcome to the studio today Amy Brentano, the owner of The Foundry at 2 Harrison Street in West Stockbridge, the new home of Bizarre Productions and The Fringe. Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, well, we're going to talk into the iPhone as Serene directed me. I hope all there you in Radio Land have your hands crossed, your fingers crossed, that this goes well, because I'm an electronic deficit. If I ask you to speak up, I'll do this. You can't see this in Radio Land that I'm signaling Amy, but I will be signaling Amy. So welcome, Amy. Tell us about the Foundry.
So the Foundry was a building that was built in 1994 as a glass-blowing building, and the owner of that business still owned it in 2019 when I purchased it from him at the end of January, and there is a functioning art gallery in there, and the other half of the building was his artist studio, which we have turned into a black box theater where we will hold music and we will hold theater and we will hold spoken word and dance, community events. It'll be available for private rentals. The property also includes the green where the West Stockbridge Farmers Market exists, and I've continued that collaboration with them. And then on the other side of the building by the river is a peystone patio where we have our liquor license and we'll be serving alcohol in conjunction with the events that we are producing. And we will be a year-round organization that's available for not only the tourists and the second homeowners that come up in the summer, but the locals from all over Berkshire County, since we're right in the middle, we're right off Route 90, we're close to Pioneer Valley. So we're really looking forward to collaborating with community and bringing in professional programming.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful space here in West Stockbridge. And the thought that there's finally something for people that don't take off in the winter and go to Florida is gets a big clap and a dance from me, because it's like goodbye to your life as they all get their suitcases and head for the beach. But knowing that there's a place where we can have some performances in the winter is fantastic. Your goal, I had read, is that you want the Foundry to become a vibrant center for creative expression and community engagement. That's a wonderful mission statement, Amy.
Well, it's true. I feel there's a ton of culture, as we all know, up here in the Berkshires, and lots of performing arts. I have found, I've lived here 18 years. I moved up here from Manhattan 18 years ago. I've always had a background in theater and performance and production. And I found that there was no platform available for those unheard voices or emerging artists up here in a professional sense. And I wanted to create a for-profit business that would be a holding tank for nonprofit organizations that are supporting emerging artists and new work, the development of new work, that doesn't depend on all your donors for your 501c3. So the program can be maybe a little edgier, maybe a little more relevant. It can bring intergenerational audiences together. It can be more accessible to audiences who can't necessarily afford the season tickets to the larger organizations. So that was my dream, was to create this holding tank of a for-profit business that could hold those 501c3s that are out there struggling to create new work for new audiences.
That's a fantastic, overwhelming goal. You had to have a lot of courage to do this. It's not easy. Did you just wake up one day and say, this is what I want to do? Because your background is in acting.
It is in acting, but it's also in production and directing and playwriting. As having my fingers in all of those, I'm very comfortable being a producer and understanding how that works. I think a few years ago, I rented a place in Alford, a house, a big property, and I invited all these artists from New York and some local actors to come up and explore, do a 10-day residency of a play that I had written. It was a vanity project, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I fed them and housed them, and we worked all day long, and then we had an invited audience at the end. And, you know, the play was the play, and it was, the actors were wildly generous and talented. They gave their souls to the project, really. And being in the room with them and living with them and creating this work with them, I came out of that experience feeling like the experience of being able to support the development of new work in a residency like that was more important to me than ever getting the play, this particular play, produced. So I came out of there saying, I need a piece of property, because place is something that you can't find in New York City. It's hard to develop new work there because it's so damn expensive. And here, at least, there's room, there's air, there's room to breathe, there's support, there's community support. So I started looking for properties. So it wasn't like I woke up and found this property, but it wasn't exactly what I thought I was going to purchase. I was really looking for a place where I could have residencies and house people that had more land to it. But I walked into this building in the middle of the coolest town, I think, in the Berkshires.
Thank you. We love it here.
It's, you know, it's not Lenox. It's not Great Barrington. It's not Pittsfield. It's really unique. It's West Stockbridge. And there's a certain amount of funk that's there that is really cool. And it's beautiful. And it's right on the river. And everyone in the town has been so supportive, from from Town Hall to all the local merchants and definitely all the residents there, second homeowners and local people who were born here, who know the history of the town, which, by the way, I find fascinating. And I want to always acknowledge, which is why we chose the name The Foundry, because it's a nod to it being a glass-blowing building, and it's a melding together of materials to create something new. If I need a tagline, that would be it.
That's a wonderful tagline. It is a great town. When we first purchased our home here, people said, where is West Stockbridge? And you couldn't even get, I remember having to make a cell phone call. I had to go like almost into the street to make it. Yeah. It has changed so dramatically. I would call it a gem.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I would call it a gem. The people here are extremely creative and supportive. And I do have to tell you, Amy, everyone is so excited about the Foundry.
Oh,
to think that there's going to be a place that will host theater and performance right in our time. I think there are numerous places in this town. It's becoming like its own little creative enclave here.
Well, just this week, the jazz concert series at the Historical Society started, and I went with my husband and my 15-year-old son, who's a musician, and we were completely blown away by the professionalism and the, I mean, how often do you get to see an entire concert by a standing string bass player that was so exceptional? I'm really excited to collaborate with the Historical Society, but they're producing these incredible events that are, it's high art. It's not just like your everyday jazz concert.
So. No. And then I'm not talking about the Historical Society now, but we do a concert in October in conjunction with the BSO.
Yeah.
So the culture here is incredible.
It is.
I think one of the things is that people are so enthusiastic about the Foundry. They're both curious and they want to be there. And before I go on and ask you any more questions, I think you should talk about the play that's going to be there beginning on August 8th,
sure.
To which I am going with a couple of friends, but please go ahead, discuss.
Sure. So Bizarre Productions, Berkshire Fringe, has been around in the Berkshires for 12 years. They used to be in residence at Simon's Rock Bard College, and then spent a year in Pittsfield at Shire City in Crispina French's venue. And now they are the theater company in residence at the Foundry. I am a co-artistic director of Bizarre Productions recently, like in the last 4 years. I've been working with them. I feel in this theater company I have found my artistic home. And so we're doing a reboot because the company took a hiatus for about a year and is now back in residence in West Uckridge. Very excited to have a home, a physical home. And we are producing a play called Particularly in the Heartland, opening, as you said, August 8th. We're also doing our big fundraiser August 8th to kick off the opening of the play. And the play was originally an original devised production, meaning an ensemble-based created piece, by a theater company called The Team in Brooklyn. And Sarah Katzoff, who is a founding member and co-artistic director of Bizarre Productions, directed this show at Boston University just recently. She is getting her graduate degree, her master's in directing there, and she's in her last year coming up. And we decided to do a remount. So in 2 weeks, we are remounting, well, it took us 2 weeks rehearsing, remounting this show. It's funny. It's moving. It's off the wall. There's audience participation. It's about a little over 90 minutes long. It's happening in the Black Box. There are crazy props and set and sound design is being done by Peter Wise, who's also a founding member and co-artistic director of the theater company. I would say that it follows, aligns with my mission for the Foundry in that it's relevant in today's socio-political climate We're not interested in producing work that tells you what to think or takes a particular political side of one or the other. We're interested in presenting the questions that we want you to leave thinking about. I'm looking forward to seeing a run this evening. I am not artistically in the room for this production. It's a pleasure for me to hear all of these people rehearsing. There's a whole design team that are grad students from Boston University that are amazing. They've turned the space into a really exciting theatrical space. And it's really fun for me to be sitting on the Peastone patio doing work for the Foundry and hearing them rehearse.
How fabulous. How fabulous to give these people a place to put this together. That's incredible. Personally, I met Sarah Katzoff many years ago, which she might not even remember, when I was a member of the Berkshire Festival of Women's Writers. And Sarah did an event for us where you came to the event and you were given something to perform or to think about. And this is a couple of years ago, and I remember thinking, this is an impressive woman. Mm. Young woman, but this is an impressive woman. And I haven't followed her career, but now that she's back working with you, I think we're all going to be treated to incredible theater.
Absolutely. She is my artistic soulmate. I don't know what she would say about that, but I'm going to be 58 in October.
You can't see her, but she looks about 38.
Oh, okay. Thanks. So little bags under my eyes.
But you can't see those.
But I forget, you know, and it's ageless, and we finish each other's sentences when we're in the room working together. I had the opportunity to create an original piece with her just recently. Wham Theater had a residency at the Foundry, mm-hmm. and it was their in their education department, but it was their first intergenerational piece that we did, and Sarah was directing the teen ensemble, teens ages 13 to 18, and I had 10 women over the age of 65 that joined the elder ensemble, and we were in the building too, and we joined these two ensembles and got to work. Again, in 2 weeks, we created a whole piece around the theme of dreams that was performed at the Foundry and then premiered at the Stationery Factory for Wham's 10th anniversary gala. So it was a great opportunity, again, to be in the room creating with Sarah, which is just like none other. So it is a treat to have her back.
She has a lot of energy. And I carried this with me all these years. And I remember when I was in that room with her, it was only for a short period of time, thinking, this woman can teach. Mm-hmm. She can bring so much out of you. And I'm glad she's back. And I will have the opportunity on Saturday night to see this production. And I'm really, really excited about it. And to know that this is in West Stockbridge. It's a wonderful place. I do have to ask you a question, if I can go off a bit, and repeat something that you had said or had written. You had said, my mission, this is by Amy, my mission is to create a space that can serve as a safe place to create dangerous work, work that's relevant and challenging with diverse artists for a diverse audience. What does dangerous work mean? I thought that was quite a mouthful.
So I think theater is still a really powerful venue. Performance is. And in the world right now, it is my viewpoint that a lot of times young people, especially, but also myself and my peers, feel a little like, what the hell can we do to make a difference? There's a certain frustration. There's a lot of division in our country right now. And I think that theater has historically been a place that ideas can come together and questions can most definitely be posed to audiences. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you go to the theater and there's an introduction and someone comes out and says, welcome to the theater, please turn off your cell phones. And then they do something about the show. And then they say, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. To me, that's the cinema. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to sit back and relax. at a piece of theater. Mm-hmm. I want you to be on the edge of your seat. I want you to be surprised. I want the performers to take chances. It's those aha moments that can't happen anywhere except for live performance, so that you're caught off guard and maybe it shifts your perspective and changes your lens a little bit when you walk out into the sunlight or into the beautiful evening, that you might go think about it the next day and see things a little bit differently, whether it's more negatively or more positively, mm-hmm. but that you're moved on some level intellectually and or emotionally, so that it's you're not sitting back and relaxing and being passive. I want to do theater that engages you. And so in that way, it might be a little bit dangerous that you take a risk, because you take a risk of offending people. You don't intentionally try to, but we can't be afraid to share these voices with each other, to start the dialogue with each other. And I think that's what I mean by it.
Dangerous.
Yeah, by dangerous. That that audiences shouldn't be passive. That we should present work that engages and that is active. And in that way, it could be, I guess, edgy could be
edgy.
A synonym for dangerous.
Right, edgy.
You know, I'm not going to invite you into the Foundry and have a thing that you trip over so you fall down.
Right, fall in a hole.
I have a lot of liability insurance.
There are so many movies out there that I would categorize as dangerous, because you can't talk back. Mm-hmm. You're a captive audience in the theater, and regardless of what a review says, you're subjected to what is on that screen. And you walk away, and many of the times you have to say, "What was that all about? what did I just see?" And it doesn't really engage you. You're just being talked to.
Mm.
You're not part of anything. And I think what you're saying is so important, because there's so much that we today in this political climate are silenced about, that we can't really speak about.
I think so. I think that's true. And I think that the theater is, by its nature, is a place where community comes together. You're putting all these people in a room. Something happens. Nothing ever happens the same way any performance. That's also, there's something exciting about that to me when I go see live performance. And if I go see something that seems so set in stone, that is ignoring the fact that I'm there as an audience, not acknowledging me, then, yawn, I might as well be watching TV on my couch.
Correct. Right.
And so for me, theater needs to be that engaging. You need to be on the edge of your seat. You need to not know what's coming next. It can be any genre of theater. It can be a musical theater. I mean, if you're going to do Sound of Music, you better make me sit on the edge of my seat. I don't want to snore.
I don't really. Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to sleep and close my eyes. I can do that.
Right.
I can do that while Donald Trump is talking.
No comment.
I can go to sleep. The Fringe has always been a little avant-garde, is that correct?
I think that Bizarre Productions would describe the Berkshire Fringe Festival that way. The Fringe has brought in over 500 international and national artists to the festival. It's a two-week festival, typically run in the summer, and a lot of those artists have gone on to have pretty impressive professional careers. We have one of those artists coming back during the run of, particularly in the Heartland, during the day, because we're not crazy enough. We're doing a residency with a woman named Mae Oskin, who's a composer, and she wrote a rock opera.
Wow.
About an indigenous Mexican woman named Julia Pastrana, who was born in the late 1800s and had a very tragic life, very talented, spoke multiple languages, but was basically kidnapped and became a sideshow sensation. And she had a disorder where she was born, she had hair all over her body. And so unfortunately was deemed the ape woman.
Oh, I've read about her.
Became very famous. There's actually a couple of films about her.
Right.
So unfortunately, she ended up, her body ended up in, preserved in, long story, basement of a museum in Oslo, Norway. And another indigenous contemporary Mexican visual artist made it her mission to bring her body back to Mexico and have a proper burial. So, material for a rock opera, you say?
Whoa.
Perhaps. And so that rock opera came to the Fringe Festival in 2015. We are revisiting it during doing a residency with artists from New York and from California, and we've invited members of the Latinx community in Pittsfield.
Is that it? Is this, let me see if I can pronounce it correct, Pittsfield's Manos Unidos Multicultural
yes.
Educational Cooperative.
Yes, and that's at the Tyler Street Cooperative in the Morningside neighborhood, which is really incredible. People should check out what's happening there. But we have, I think, four or five community members who we've been working with in these workshops to give them a vocabulary of how to create theater from an ensemble so that when they come into the room with a professional artist, we're all working in a horizontal way rather than with hierarchy, because we really believe in creating an ensemble base, and we'll be devising more text to go with it and opening up the music. And this will be a 10-day residency, and then we'll invite some of our colleagues to come and see where we are with it, and maybe it will be presented. Yes, and maybe it will be presented at the Fringe Festival in 2020.
Which is when when the Fringe is coming back.
Yes, the summer of 2020.
Cannot wait. Now, after all, look what happened to Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy was a rock opera. It's still here.
You never know.
It's still my favorite. I've seen it 5 times. Some of them are good. Some of the remakes are good. And some of them are so-so. But that resonates with you.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, it speaks today to what happens today.
It does.
And all of this is so important because I think some of this political climate is taking away our voices, is preventing us from speaking. It's sort of like when you go out to dinner, somebody, okay, no politics.
Right.
And then at our age, at my age, it's no medicine, no organ discussions. We don't want to know what's wrong with you. So I would like to have a new topic. And then we're not talking about the grandkids, so that leaves us nothing.
Nothing.
So talking about a play or a performance is exciting, and this is very exciting. We have so many venues here in the Berkshires we have dance, we have theater, we have Tanglewood. Now, let's be honest, not everything at Tanglewood is my taste. I'm more of the Tommy rock opera girl. I like it loud, I like it noisy, I like it chaotic. So I'm looking forward to some of this coming out of the Foundry.
I think you'll see it. And I think there'll be programming that appeals to lots of people. We're doing a lot. The Foundry is booking a lot of music in the fall. And then in March, we are taking on the 30 Under 30 Festival that used to be at Six Depot. And Lisa and Flavio at Six Depot are the loveliest, most welcoming merchants.
They are.
They are wonderful, and they are moving out of the performances in the evening, so they're sending some really interesting artists over to the Foundry, and they sent over this fabulous young woman who curates the 30 Under 30, and we had a meeting, and we are definitely collaborating in March to do that, so there'll be some interesting, I'm sure, chaotic stuff happening then. But then at the same time, we'll have, you know, chamber orchestra, and I want to really pull intergenerational audiences together, because I feel like not only are we divided in this country by race and economic division, but by age. I mean,
Yes, they call it the graying of the Berkshires.
Yeah.
But some of us still have some life left.
A little bit. I'm hanging on.
We were hanging on. But what I'm happy to hear, and I'll repeat what we started off talking about, is that once Tanglewood and Jacob's Pillow and all these theater organizations like Williamstown shut down, those who live here and do not take off for the hotter weather kind of left in an abyss. We miss it. And at least I know we search out what's on, what's coming up in the winter. Is there a play to go to? And this would be wonderful if there was a go-to place for all these people that I call that are left behind in their winter coats.
Well, we want it, you know, the venue is, the capacity is 99 and under. And I remember when I first moved here and I went to Helsinki when it was in Great Barrington, mm-hmm. and I saw Mose Allison, famous jazz pianist, play, who's now unfortunately passed away. And I couldn't believe I was seeing this incredible talent, famous man. And I was like rubbing shoulders with mm-hmm. people I'd never met before. It's a little like the Guthrie Center or right. the Barn in Egremont.
Right, right.
And I wanted to create that kind of intimate venue where it's community-based. You can afford the tickets.
Right.
You know, and you can get a beer or a glass of wine if you want, or maybe there's a specialty cocktail. You know, maybe we do a movie series and you come and enjoy a cocktail and have something to eat that a local merchant provides that we collaborate with. But I wanted to create that kind of intimacy so that the community that is left behind here
right.
has a place to gather and see some incredible emerging talent and have some fun.
Well, you have a big crowd that's left behind. Not everybody heads for the beach. And I think this would be wonderful because not only you'd be taking care of our needs, but you'd be getting people ready for the summer to look forward to more. This is a fantastic undertaking. Did you do this on your own? Do you have a group that did this with you? Or this is solely your baby, so to speak?
So I chose to do this by myself because I'm a little crazy, but also because I only want to, in this venue, work with people generous of spirit, people that are have a certain standard of professionalism to their work. And so initially I created an LLC and a business plan to purchase the building, and I wanted to make my own investment so no one else could tell me what to do.
That's great. I totally understand that.
At this point in my life,
right.
you know, I've worked with enough
right.
people that I don't want to say they're jerks, but
right.
you know,
I can totally understand.
Or they
that.
Don't have the same standards. And
right.
I feel that, you know, it's a professional space, but there's room for local talent and community organizations to come in. I partnered with Bridge, Multicultural Bridge.
Right.
They came in and did a forum there, and we did a performance there that benefited them. There's so much in the program.
Multicultural Bridge is very giving of their time, and they have an enormous following. So that's a great.
So that's a
great
kind of organization that aligns
right.
with my personal mission.
And Wham.
Absolutely.
Wham is fantastic.
So those kinds of things that I can choose to say, right now I'm curating the work.
Right.
I mean, I have an assistant, I will have help. But ultimately, I am a control freak in that way, but I don't need to have my hand in everything artistically. I'm so thrilled to say, I believe in what you're doing, now go and do
go
it.
And
I'm over here, you know, sweeping the floor.
Wow.
I'm still the janitor there,
right.
by the way.
Right.
I am scrubbing the floors.
Right, but that's what makes it so wonderful, because it's your space. I have to say that I have a son who went off on the fringe and created his own business and in Manhattan. And it took a lot of courage and a lot of money, but he didn't want a partner because he, just like you said, he didn't want anyone telling him what to do. And it's taken time, but his business is very successful. He has a high-end, a very different kind of health studio in Manhattan, with cryo tanks and flotation tanks and sensory deprivation floating tanks. But he did it on his own, because exactly what you said, he didn't want anyone to tell him what to do. And that will make you more successful, because you'll have to do all the thinking. He too does the plumbing. He too is the janitor. He does the sweeping up. So I can totally relate to that, because when he told me he was doing this, I thought he was out of his mind.
Yeah.
He took a safe career and turned it into this, which I'm sure you've done the same thing. And everybody must have said, this guy's crazy. But you know what? A spark of an idea is what makes magic. And that's what I think you're making magic.
And well, thanks. I'm glad you see it that way.
I do see it that way.
It's a huge risk. I've always been a little bit of a risk taker. Someone said to me when I first did it, you know what? Get your mission really clear and always go back to it. And because I know that I'm just going to bleed money in the first two years,
right.
Years.
Right.
But I do have a business plan and I'm banking on it. And you know, when I'm feeling exhausted and you'll find me lying on the beautiful gallery floor flat out, as my son was posting on Instagram, his mother holding on to the floor of the building collapsed.
Understandably so.
I just try to remember why I'm doing this. And it's actually a service industry. Right. I feel like I want to serve the community, the local community, but the art community at large, because I feel like I've had a life in the arts and it's been generous. And the people that I've met that have been generous are the ones that I draw back to me to work with me, and then we need to give back.
Well, I know, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, that you have a relationship with the well-known actress Allison Janney.
Oh, my friend.
And that in itself says a lot.
So Allison and I were in a theater company together in New York City, a nonprofit for 10 years, which is why I know how to run nonprofit. And even back then, we were very young. And her talent was extraordinary, and you just knew something was going to happen. The thing about Allison is the company didn't dissolve, but we disbanded when 3/4 of them moved to L.A. And I went out, and I thought, ugh, I hate it out here. Blech. I'm going back to New York. I'm a bagel and cream cheese kind of gal.
Right, right, right.
So I stayed there for 25 years. But we've remained friends. All of us in the theater company have remained friends. And her career has just exploded. And yet, she's the most grounded, lovely human being. She is who you want her to be. She is. And so she agreed to do a matching grant for the Bazaar Productions online campaign. And people love her so much. We got a donation from someone in Australia.
Wow.
That she doesn't even know. Wow. Because it was Allison wearing a Berkshire Fringe t-shirt.
Wow.
So she's a really generous soul and amazing to work with. As a playwright, she's done a couple of my shows, and then I walked away disillusioned in the way thinking, oh, I'm so brilliant. I'm the most brilliant playwright in the world. And then I realized, oh, it's because Allison makes everything brilliant.
No, not always.
But she's amazing. So
I have to say, just knowing you for the short time that I do, you're very impressive and funny and full of life, but Allison Janney is no fool. If she didn't believe in you, she wouldn't support you. So take some credit for all that you have done and enjoy that. Run with that, because that says a lot about you. Women today, it's very hard to break through that glass ceiling. I don't care what anyone says. And so I have a daughter that did that in Wall Street, and she can't give up. She can't back down, because if she backs down, she'll slide right down from the ceiling. It's hard for women today, no matter what is going on in our political climate. It still is a man's world. And so I admire women who take charge and run with it. And I think this is going to be amazingly, amazingly successful. I mean, I'm excited about it. Everybody's excited about it. Even in my head, I'm thinking so many things that you can do. And I know that you're thinking of it as well. Did you have to reach out to other community organizations and tell them who you are and offer this to them, or did they find you? Like Multicultural Bridge, for example.
I think because I've been in the Berkshires for 18 years and I've worked for a lot of the different theater companies here, I have also been a teacher. A teaching artist at Richmond School. I was the film and theater director at Berkshire Country Day School for four years. Okay. So you make these connections.
Okay.
So this was really the best time for me to do this, because I already have these community support, and so many of those people are connected to these other organizations that are worthy organizations that align with my mission. And so I think that piece of it makes me feel like, oh, there is a need for something like this. And then I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard. How am I going to curate? How am I going to get, you know, music? And people are calling the Foundry. So,
oh, that's terrific.
The press has been so generous to us. So generous.
Yeah, there was a great article in the Berkshire Edge about your business.
Yes, lovely, lovely. Yes,
and I think that that is, I think it's terrific. I do know from my involvement in this community that there's a great need to help underserved, if that's the correct term. I know there's other terms, underserved young women here in the Berkshires. And this might be something that would eventually work into your program. I've worked with some of them. They're creative. They're fabulous. And every April at the Historical Society, a group of young women writers from the English department of Monument Mountain High School come and read original pieces. And some of those girls are so talented. And you just don't know where they're going. You know, this would be so helpful to them as well.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely interested in all of those kinds of collaborations. We did a collaboration with Word by Word.
Yes, yes.
In Pittsfield.
Yes.
And all of those things are so easy to reach out to. I mean, there's something about having a space, a physical space.
Yes.
That changed everything for
well,
me.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. I was a member of the Berkshire Festival of Women's Writers for many years. Mm-hmm. What we lacked, not in enthusiasm, not in talent, was a physical space. And I think that was always our problem. We used different spaces mm-hmm. here in the Berkshires. As you say, people are very generous. But to have a physical space like you do is so important, because this is where people can come to. There is so much talent here that's not even out there that I know that you will discover.
And, you know, as much as I want control over it, because I'm the only single investor right now, I also want the community to take ownership of it. I want people to feel like it's corny as hell, but to feel like it's a home. It's an artistic home
right.
for people to come
right.
and create. I'm working with a physical theater group called The Hat Factory.
That's an interesting name.
It is an interesting name. It's named that because one of the collaborators, Tom Truss, teaches at Pulse in Housatonic.
Okay.
And that was a hat factory.
Okay.
And
okay.
so that's why we
okay.
chose that name. And they'll be performing the 23rd and 24th of August at the Foundry. But that's a very audience participatory
okay.
Thing.
And you'll get that word out there.
I'll get that word out there.
That's terrific.
Our website is thefoundryws.com. We have a placeholder there right now. It's about to launch. It's a very expansive website, so it's taken a while to build. But we do have social media that lists everything that's happening on Facebook and on Instagram. It's the Foundry WS. All of the upcoming things will be on that. But now I just totally lost my train of thought because, as you can see, there's so much going on. There's a writing workshop, a poetry and monologue workshop in the fall.
Yes, by Jane Ben Julian.
Yes.
Who I know and is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So I think that that is terrific. I think that your space will be utilized by so many people.
I hope so.
I do have to ask you an offside question. Because the Foundry is also an art gallery,
mm-hmm.
and you have an exhibition there. Is that a relative of yours?
It is. It's my older sister, who's a professional artist. She's very prolific. She lives down in the New York and New Jersey area. She's got a beautiful show up right now. Diana Felber created a beautiful gallery there.
She did. Diana did.
And she closed her business at the end of December, and so I didn't want the gallery to be dark. And as I'm building my business, I didn't have time to curate a lot of work initially. So my sister said, I have this show. I'll come throw it up for you. It'll go through the summer. It'll work. You know, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Cut paper and
it
acrylic.
Is gorgeous. Come see it. It's beautiful.
It's a
there's
lovely
no
show.
Cost to come in and walk around.
Absolutely not. And if you're lucky, the bar's open. You can have a glass of wine. But yeah, that's up, and that was very generous of her. I think that will be up until the end of August, I think. And then on the website, there will be information about how to submit. And also, I want to collaborate with the Berkshire Artists Guild.
Right.
They've been incredibly supportive, and I love them all. I keep meeting more and more artists who are members
of that. They are great. They are great people.
We'll definitely do something together. It's like I want everything to have happened yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it's evolving, and a lot has happened in 6 months.
An incredible fast 6 months. I do have a question to ask you. As a owner of a theater gallery space, people must or will be coming to you with their artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Can you display this? Can you read this? Can I perform this? Do you review all of this yourself, or do you have a team? I'm laughing. You're laughing because that, you know.
Eventually, there will be a team. I need a full staff. I need a technical director to run my sound and my lights.
Right.
You know, I need a design staff, and I need people. I will need help with curating. But right now, I have an assistant who's lovely and helping me with all of that and the scheduling. But I think getting through one thing that's very interesting is finding, as we just do things and Bizarre Productions reboots and launches this huge production coming up. Being in the space doing it is where I'm finding out, oh, that doesn't work. I'm going to have to do that this way. The physical things about it that need to be adjusted and the staffing that I need to have.
Your staffing is very important.
It's really important.
I know as someone who worked with a not-for-profit for many years. Now, we didn't pay, quote-unquote, the staff, but it's a hard thing to work with people and get them to get something done,
mm-hmm.
whether they're being paid or not.
Right.
And it's, for me, it's hard not to yell at people because you're so stressed and you think, you know, I could have done that myself and now I've asked you and this isn't going well.
Right.
So I'm sure that there's another side to you as well. What do you do when someone submits something and they're so enthusiastic about it, and they say, this is one, and you look at it, and you say, this is awful. What do you do?
You say to your assistant, give so-and-so a call. No, I think, you know, it depends. I mean, if it's a young artist, I really appreciate honesty. And I would, you know, I say this, I mean, idealistically, I hope that I have the time to sit with someone and say, this is not right. It doesn't align with the mission of what I'm trying to do. I encourage you to do X, Y, and Z, or why don't you try this?
Mm-hmm.
I wish more people had taken that time with me when I was a young artist, but some did, and I never forgot
mm-hmm.
that. And I feel like, you know, the kiss of death is like you're a playwright or you're a director and someone comes to see your work and they go, that was interesting. I try really hard not to tell other people things are interesting. So I hope that I can, yeah, you can hold me to it. Ask me in a couple of years, but I hope that I can be honest with people when they submit. Now, if we start getting like a plethora of submissions and we can't handle them all, then hopefully there'll be a polite way to say it just doesn't align and we wish you the best of luck. God knows we've all gotten those letters before, but it is my hope to be able to hold, especially, you know, whether they're young or old, but emerging artists with new work.
That's very,
it's gonna be hard.
That is going to be hard. I, along with Serene, we interviewed Kelly Vickery,
mm.
who produces
mm-hmm.
the amazing Berkshire International Film Festival here. And one of our questions was, how do you review all these films? How do you know which is good? And Kelly, along with other people, reviews the movies. The same thing with the Jewish Film Festival.
Yeah.
Someone sits down and reviews, though. You hope that you made a good pick. Kelly does it with Karen Allen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They go to film festivals and review them. I guess that after a while you have a sixth sense, like you do, being an actress, what works and what doesn't work. Just like when you read a book.
Yeah.
Some of them are okay, and some of them you say, I can't read another word of this. In literature today, My I guess my Achilles heel is the self-publishing. Mm. That a lot of what you read is not vetted. Mm-hmm. So you're putting yourself in the vetting position. Mm-hmm. As opposed to somebody deciding that they're going to spend X number of dollars, publish their work, and now they've got 5,000 copies of a dreadful book in their garage. It happens. I can give you the names. It happens. Yeah. I've read some of them. But you would have to be the one that would say, this does not work. Right. And you explained it beautifully.
And, you know, I have a pretty clear vision. I have I'm pretty opinionated.
Yeah, but the opinions are important. We've all had rejections. I've submitted lots of stuff, and I submitted a piece about my mother for a Mother's Day publication. And after I sent it off, I realized, ooh, that's not going to work because this isn't nice. And I got back a very nicely letter about, I don't think we can publish this. But had I sent it in maybe for Halloween, it might have worked.
I think we might have a similar sense of humor.
It might have worked. But we've all been to the theater. We've all been to plays. I've been to Tanglewood. I was there last night with my husband at the new Lindy Center. And they had something there that we just didn't get. We didn't understand it. It was, I can't use the word bizarre. It was just weird. Mm-hmm. And not everything is perfection.
Right.
And I think when you go to a movie or a play or a show, you have to take into consideration the hard work that the artists did. You're not going to love every meal that you ate, and you're not going to love everything you see in the theater.
But, you know, there's something to be said about intentionally creating something. If there's intention to it, if it's not arbitrary, you know, it can be any kind of genre, even if the craft of it is not of such high excellence or standard. What's the intention behind the piece that has been created? I believe in examining that. So I guess I'm saying that my choice, my curating wouldn't be arbitrary or necessarily just to my tastes, but I have a standard of, you know, what is the intention of this artist that is creating this dance or this piece of music? Is it clear? Is it universally appealing to what is relevant as human beings?
Well, it's hard to tell what other people are going to like.
That's true.
It's hard.
But look at the classics. Why are they classics? Why does a piece of work survive?
They're timeless.
So long?
They're timeless.
And why are they timeless? Because they're human. There's something something about humanity in there that's honest and truthful.
Truthful.
That's what I look for.
Sometimes when I'm in an art gallery. My husband and I like art, and we go to a lot of art galleries. Here, New York, other countries, any city that we're in, we go to the art gallery. We were in Mass MoCA, and some of their art is way off the charts. I'm not sure who that all appeals to. Mm-hmm. My 13-year-old, very nerdy techno grandson, we took him to Mass MoCA, and he curled up in a ball and started to cry. He didn't get it. He just didn't get it. It was pretty funny. And his sister walked over to him and said, you know, you have to expose your, she's 12, you have to expose yourself to everything. Well, exposing at Mass MoCA was the descriptive word without going into more descriptive. I'm very open to all kinds of art and performance art and theater, but sometimes I feel it goes too far. And I'm wondering, and I'd like your opinion as we're winding this talk down, whether you think because so much of what's going on politically puts so many of us on the edge that we're almost raw, that when we want to see something, we're looking for the flowers and not for the horror. How do you feel about that?
I think that sometimes What appeals to me, like if I see a film or I read a poem or I read a book or I see a piece of theater or music, is there's a truth in humanity that is horrible and beautiful at the same time. And when a piece goes there, like the horror can uplift the beauty. It's that yin-yang thing. I mean, I'm not saying anything new. So I'm not like so, you know, profound. But that's how I can judge a piece. It appeals to me if, I mean, like this particular play that's happening, that's opening Thursday evening.
And the play is?
Particularly in the Heartland. There is humor. There's crazy chaos. There's horribleness. And it's moving because when you see any kind of humanity struggling to get past obstacles and finding ways around it, and you know if they're not successful, it's a tragedy. If they are, it's a comedy. But that pathos and the humor together.
Pathos and humor is so important.
It's that tension between isn't that our life?
I mean, that is our life. Right. So well said.
So that's
I think it's important because let me just... I hope that everyone who's listening and their friends and their family and their weekend guests, bring those weekend guests, will come to see, particularly in the Heartland at the Foundry, beginning August 8th to the 18th. And if you want to buy tickets, you go to bizarreproductions.org. Or is this number good for them to call?
Sure, they can dial that number.
You can dial this phone number, 413-418-4113 to buy your tickets. This play talks about three siblings who are living on a farm in Kansas. They've been orphaned after their parents' disappearance by tornado. This can take on all different kinds of concepts. And I think that I'm looking forward to seeing it because it's so different. Mm-hmm. And I like different theater. I have, unfortunately, yawned my way through, and you'll probably pass out when I tell you this, Carousel in Oklahoma. It's just like, okay, let's move on. I don't want any more Carousel in Oklahoma. We know it. Let's move on. I'm starting to think that, other plays that keep being repeated again and again are the same way. But your productions are going to give us what we need in this world, something different. So I congratulate you on that. I congratulate you on that. Give us again the name of the play and the and where we can buy tickets.
Particularly in the Heartland, opens August 8th. It runs through the 18th. And it's Bazaar, B-A-Z-A-A-R, productions.org. You can purchase tickets online there, or you can call the box office, 413-418-4113. And the performances are at the Foundry at 2 Harris Street in West Stockbridge. And we hope to see everyone there.
We do, too. And closing, I just found out that you, Amy Brentano, performed at the Farmers Market with Circle Round Podcast. And I had a friend who saw it and said it was pretty darn good.
Oh,
so that
fun.
Had to be a lot of fun.
So much fun. Eric and Rebecca have been incredibly supportive, the producers of Circle Round, and they invited us, Chris Tucci is a co-artistic director of Bizarre Productions as well, and an incredible actor who I love working with, and we got to stand up in front of all those kids live and tell this story with music underneath it and Rebecca narrating. They are such a powerhouse.
They are a powerhouse.
They really are. And Eric is the new town selectman.
Yay, Eric. And he was very helpful with our jazz performance at the West Stockbridge Historical Society. So I hope that people don't start moving in here as fast as this is growing. Because we won't have any place to put these people, because every time you turn around, there's something wonderful going on here. The West Stockbridge Historical Society is just gaining ground, and we welcome the collaboration with Amy Brentano and her foundry. I know that I speak on behalf of the board of the Westock-Rich Historical Society only because I'm married to one of the board members. Otherwise, I have no voice, but I speak on behalf of the board, and we welcome the collaboration with you, and we think that you are amazing.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming to Saturday night's jazz performance. We enjoyed your enthusiasm and meeting your son and your husband, and we are glad to all be here together in this amazing town. Thank you, Amy. One more time, we're going to give you another.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to talk to you.
It was a pleasure to talk to you,
too. I love to talk about my vision.
What's better than that?
So, Bazaar Productions, particularly in the Heartland, directed by Sarah Katzoff, August 8th through the 18th. And you can get tickets at bazaarproductions.org, 413-418-4113 at the Foundry at 2 Harris Street.
Everyone, do you hear that? Let's get our tickets. We all want to catch up with you at the Foundry. Thank you so much, Amy. It was a pleasure, mine in particular.